Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
It's time to get the morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What a weekend it was, and welcome back to the Kia Studios with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you're having a safe drive in on this Monday morning. Do keep your eyes on the weather throughout the day. That's what the weatherman says. Could be kind of a rock and roll day. We're going to get into that spring storm season soon enough. And with spring, I guess it turns, what, spring is a day after tomorrow, huh?
You know what?
Yeah.
If you say so, John.
It's on the 20th.
I don't know.
It's my mother's birthday. That's how I always remember.
Yeah.
The 20th is tomorrow.
Indeed.
All righty then. Well, right. There you have it.
There you have it. Yeah.
Hey, that's your mama's birthday?
Always.
That's my wife's birthday, too.
Shout out to your wife.
Man, you guys
happy
got a
birthday. Wow. To the birthday people.
Wow, yeah, this is quite the time, man.
Indeed.
Of course, a lot going on here in town. We welcome the Sweet 16 into Atlanta this weekend, Thursday and Saturday. It is not a group that we expected to see, that's for sure. And if you're going into work today and you're thinking, well, you know, my bracket is all busted. Look, everybody's bracket is busted. NCAA.com, we were mentioning earlier in the program, scoured tens of millions of brackets from the five leading sites and said that there were only 25 perfect brackets left out of tens of millions. And NCAA.com was looking at ESPN and at CBS and at Yahoo. The five biggest ones, we're talking in the order of 40 million brackets or something like that, that there were 25 perfect brackets before, the UMBC game, and that was it. And ba-bam, the UMBC Kansas State game. 25 were left, and then UMBC lost, and that was that. Nobody's perfect. So if you got your national champion like you do with Duke, you're still in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't feel comfortable because it's like the one thing that this tournament has taught me so far is that, boy, anything can happen. There's been some good games. There's been some good defensive efforts. And you know, I go back to that game, the A&M game, Texas A&M game yesterday against UNC. Their defense, defensively in the paint, they stepped up big time against Carolina. Like Carolina, they did not have an answer for the big fellas in the middle for Texas A&M.
No, they didn't have any answer whatsoever as A&M rolled Carolina yesterday. Matter of fact, here's the stat about the teams that are left. This is the first time a pair of 9 seeds will participate in the Sweet 16, Kansas State and Florida State, and it's the first time that's happened. It's the first time since seeding. That's the first time ever for 2 9 seeds to be this far. And the first time since they began seeding this way in 1979, which was the year of Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson in the championship game, first time since that one region, that's the South region we're in, that will not feature a top 4 seed because all 4 seeds from the South region are gone. Virginia out. Arizona out. Cincinnati out. Tennessee out. None of the top 4 made it. And that's it. Highest seed coming is Kentucky.
There's only 2 SEC teams left, right? Kentucky.
And A&M.
Okay. I was just thinking about that because, man, you know, we were talking about how, before the tournament started, how SEC isn't really known for basketball, or they really haven't had been around that. Well, they've had some good basketball teams, but it's more known as a football conference. A&M win was great yesterday, though. Yeah, you got it.
The headlines brought to you by Shane Company. Blow our mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Company. Shanko is your friend in the jewelry business. Let's go right to what Hugh was talking about. Texas A&M, a team that a lot of people had high in the beginning of the year, faded and suddenly has come out, and they just destroyed the Tar Heels yesterday.
What a stunner! In North Carolina, the Aggies kick the heels off the road to the Final Four with an 86-65 win. The defending national champions are done, and the Texas A&M Aggies are on to the Sweet 16.
That was Westwood 1. A&M will face Michigan, which was a thrilling winner in a buzzer beater against the Houston Cougars. And Michigan's been on an incredible roll, what with the Big Ten tournament. And now this, that'll be in the West region. on Thursday, the other game of the West Region, Gonzaga and Florida State. Meantime, there are a couple of 9 seeds left. There are a couple of 7 seeds. There are 2 11 seeds left. One of those 11 seeds is Syracuse.
A second to give him a 3-point lead with 2.4 left. It is no good. Lane for the rebound. Ahead it goes, Winston. Head quarter is no good. Off the glass. Syracuse wins. The midcourt heave, a 3 to try and win it for Winston, is off the mark, and Syracuse is going to the Sweet 16.
How about the Syracuse Orange? You mentioned them, too. There are two teams that you focused on that we wanted to focus on, A&M and Syracuse, because you're kind of pointing those two teams out as teams that potentially could be in this year of upsets. Maybe two teams that could wind their way to San Antonio.
I'll tell you what, that defense, that zone defense that that Syracuse was able to play to slow the game down for them in that first half, man, that was huge. I think it was like during the course of the game, Carolina went 7 minutes without making a bucket, like 7 minutes. So they put some lockdown defense on them, and they played well. Syracuse is a team that surprised a lot of people this weekend. But with the play-in game and the fact that they're still alive, they played some real good basketball. Real, real good basketball.
Yeah, they've won 3 games so far in the tournament because they did have that first 4 win over Arizona State as well. 4 teams from the ACC are left, Florida State, Clemson, Syracuse, and Duke. 4 teams from the Big 12 are left, Kansas State, West Virginia, and Texas Tech. 2 from the SEC, as you mentioned, Kentucky and A&M. 2 from the Big 10, Michigan and Purdue. Then Villanova, the only Big East team left. And then the outsider, so to speak, Loyola out of the Missouri Valley, Nevada out of the Mountain West, and Gonzaga out of the West Coast, though hard to call Gonzaga an outsider considering they were in the national championship game last year, and they have 32 wins already this year. So the South is set to come to Atlanta on Thursday. It will be Kansas State against Kentucky and Loyola of Chicago against Nevada. Who would you have had? There's no way anybody had this. I probably didn't have any of these 4 teams in.
No, nobody had this, John. But that's what makes March Madness so fun. And for the first time ever, a 16 seed has been the top seed. So that was exciting. But didn't think it was going to come in the form that it came with UMBC. Was it UMBC? Didn't think it was going to come in that form. Didn't think it was going to happen this year. But, yeah, great win for them, man. And it's just been – it's been a topsy-turvy weekend, and I'm pretty sure it's a whole bunch of people out there that took a whole lot of antacid medicine, especially after Friday night when the brackets started to explode, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, a lot of big names are left sitting on the sidelines. We mentioned the top 4 seeds in the South are all out with Cincinnati, Tennessee, Virginia, Arizona. Xavier's out as the number 1 seed. North Carolina's the number 2. Michigan State out. A lot of big-name teams sitting on the sidelines as we approach the Sweet 16 Thursday and Friday. We're going through some of the headlines. Another big crowd, sellout crowd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United against the Vancouver Whitecaps over the weekend. And boy, did Joseph Martinez have himself a game.
Escobar starting up the right side again. Gressel finding himself with a lot of room. Played forward to Carlton on the edge of the 18. He turns on it and shoots. Martinez scores! A hat trick!
Mike Conney on WAOK, and we'll talk with Mike in about an hour about this game. 4-1, Atlanta United wins. Michael Parker's team captain talking about the power of this game.
We just wanted to have that mentality that we're going to come out here, we're going to dominate the game, we're going to take advantage of our opportunities. We didn't quite do that in the first half. We should have put the game away before halftime, but a good response to start the second half. And unfortunate to give up the goal there at the end, but we're happy.
And then Chris McCann, the defender, talking about how physical Vancouver was going to be and how they had to deal with that.
You know, we're a strong group of lads. You know, they're mentally strong as well. They know they're going to take knocks, but it's how you respond from that and keep going. You know, they're tough nuts over there, so they just keep going and going. You know, ultimately they get their just rewards with the goals and, you know, the assists that they have every game. So, you know, they just got to put up with that. This is the league. It's the day and age where teams are going to be physical with you, and all you got to do is just get up and get on with it.
A couple of thoughts here now. Early in the game, of course, there was a red card that put Vancouver in a really tough spot, Hugh.
Yeah, 2 men on the field, on the pitch.
Mm-hmm. They were down to 10 for the remainder of the game. And on that red card, United sent Joseph. There was also the foul was in the box against Miggy Almiron, and Joseph took the free kick and scored on the penalty to make it 1-0. And from that point on, the game was pretty much going to be over because – you know, when you're playing a man up for the rest of the game, especially against a team as explosive as United, it's going to be almost impossible for Vancouver to put a couple on the board.
Yeah, I mean, they were at a huge disadvantage. But hey, you know what, John? It doesn't matter. I mean, they got the red card. You got to take advantage of the situation when it gets in, you know, it presents itself.
As for Joseph Martinez, he now leads Major League Soccer in goals scored this season. He already has four goals, and he leads the league. He also has his fourth hat trick. He's only played, 23 games because of his injuries last year?
23 matches, yes,
23
right.
matches.
This was the first match he played in this year, correct?
No,
he played in the first one, the Dynamo?
Yeah, he played last week.
Okay, my fault.
He's one hat trick shy of the MLS record, which is five. He's had four hat tricks.
In 23 games.
In 23 matches, he is one hat trick away from the record. That's
insane.
That's sick, yeah. And the league's been around, John, the league's been around like at least 20 years now, right?
At least 20 years, yeah. At least. I mean, one away from the record, he's played 23 games. Whew, man. So Atlanta United now tied for the lead in the in MLS in goals scored this season with seven. They lead MLS in shots through three games. I mean, they got beat 4-0 by Houston, and they're still putting up the best numbers offensively in the league because of the last two games of what they've been able to produce.
I think that with the injury that they had early on, that's what kind of threw them off a little bit. And they had to go to that hurry-up formation for them against Houston Dynamo, and I think that's kind of what threw them off. But since then, they've been rolling.
And they have a couple of weeks off now because of FIFA play, and so this week the big news for Atlanta United will be the debut of Atlanta United 2 this Saturday at Cool Ray Field against New York Red Bulls 2 in a game where – and it was good to see Andrew Carlton, by the way, get into the game on Saturday and have an assist on the final goal by Joseph Martinez. So we'll see what happens with Atlanta United 2 this week at Cool Ray Field, and we expect that there could be a huge, if not sold-out crowd for the debut game of Atlanta United 2. And we'll talk with Mike Connie about Atlanta United coming up again at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Meantime, there's other news to get into today, including – a new head coach for the Georgia Bulldogs, Tom Crean. Former Marquette and Indiana coach is now the head coach of the Dogs.
It is going to be an absolute honor and a privilege to join Greg and this entire athletic department, to join President Moorhead and this entire university, to join every alum and continuing to build this program into what it can continue to become. And that is one of the most outstanding, energetic, driven basketball programs in the country.
Well, Crean was certainly excited if you watched the news conference. Tom Crean could talk. That much I'll tell you about Tom. Tom could talk. The reason he's been on radio and television for a while, he could talk. And boy, did he talk. Talking more about Georgia basketball and Stegman Coliseum and what he thinks he can make it.
Like, I look and say, this arena, it can get to a place that we're going to work. Whether it does or not, we'll find out. But every day to work to make this place something that people want to be at as much as they possibly can. Not just for the bigger games, not just the weekend games, but do everything we can to make it exciting.
All right, one final quote from the new head coach, Tom Crean, on what type of team he expects UGA will be.
All right, to become a team that talks on offense, talks on defense, talks through success, talks through adversity, because they have a belief in one another. And I'm starting at base zero with a group of guys that have been together as we continue to come in and figure out how to do that.
This much I can tell you, having watched Tom Crean's years at Indiana, because, as you know, Hugh, my wife, is a gigantic Indiana fan,
mm-hmm.
So I pretty much saw every game that Tom Crean coached in his 9 years at Indiana, because I pretty much watched every Indiana game for the last 15 years of my life. Tom Crean's teams will be high-scoring. That's what he wants. He wants athletic guys. This is why he gets the Victor Oladipos of the world, who are long and athletic and can run the floor. Cody Zeller ran the floor. They want to run not only out of misses, but they want to run out of made baskets as well. He wants to win games 92 to 82, all right? He is not, for all the defense that's being played in this tournament, that's not Tom Crean. Tom Crean is pretty much run and gun.
Yeah, I'm looking at his record. He's 356, 231 overall, and he has 20 NCAA appearances, 11, I guess it was like 11 and 9 in those appearances. Something like that. So yeah, he's a pretty good coach. Two-time Big Ten regular season champion. So I mean, they got a coach with some pedigree.
Yeah, he's got to take took a team to the Final Four with a guy named Dwayne Wade. So, I mean, he can obviously get talent. It is time for you to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Seat. $1,000 will buy you a seat at someone's dinner table, that's for sure. S-E-A-T, you have till 8:59
seat.
To take a seat. And text it to S-E-A-T to 72881. Seat, S-E-A-T to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Data or data? I keep forgetting.
I say data, and I get killed for it, so it's data.
Do not text and drive. You get killed for saying data?
Yeah. I don't care, but I mean, you know.
Data processing, like, data processing.
Yeah, it's like whatever.
I think it's the ultimate tomato-tomato thing. I think it's just wherever part of the country or world you came from, you say it different. I say data, but I say a lot of things wrong, so I'm not saying I'm saying it's right.
I say W, so I say a lot of things wrong, too. I mean.
It's like, it's just kind of like Houston and Houston.
Or police.
Well, that's
or
actually
vehicle.
That's not the same, because Houston County is not. It may be spelled Houston, but it's supposed to be
okay,
pronounced
just
Houston.
Like you said, how's it spelled? How's Houston spelled?
You know, two words can be spelled the same and pronounced
saying,
differently.
I'm just saying. I mean, listen. I don't believe in doing all that extracurricular work. Houston, no, Houston.
I got one
Houston.
For you. The or the?
The.
Because a lot of people say the, but it's spelled the.
Well, you would say
the is spelled the same way.
The Ohio State University, right?
Is the.
The. So you Ohio State fans got to get over yourself. The
I'm not a fan,
University.
But I know that. That's the way that they like to say it.
The. All right, whatever. I got you. The Ohio State University lost this week. Just saying. Okay. The Ohio State University. But, yes, so $1,000 if you text SEAT at 72-
$1,000.
It is a Powerball. The lump sum payout on Powerball was $237 million.
I take it. I take that.
Man. Gee.
Now I apologize. Tiger Woods finished fifth. He was tied for fifth. I said sixth. I slighted him a slot.
On your TV viewing over the weekend, did you get a chance to watch the show that we were talking about promoting, Aaron Hernandez Uncovered? If you didn't, there was some wild stuff coming out of that show. I mean, interesting stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Science.
This is Boomer Science with a CBS Sports Minute. Syracuse was the final team selected off the bubble, and they had to beat Arizona State in a play-in game. But now, Jim Boeheim's 11-seeded Orange have a date with Duke in the Sweet 16 after stunning number 3 Michigan State 55-53 in Detroit yesterday. This upset was improbable for several reasons. Syracuse, which fielded just 7 available scholarship players, played most of the game's final 6 minutes with 3 freshmen, a sophomore, and a former walk-on. Starting point guard Frank Howard, who played all but 1 minute of Syracuse's last 14 games, picked up his 4th and 5th fouls just 5
down.
Doesn't mean they're not as juvenile as your 13-year-old son.
Sports hot or not hot? Or hot.
I'm going to give her sports hot.
Rick and John, middays from 10 to 2. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Hope you're having a safe drive in. I know traffic is a bear in certain spots in Atlanta this morning. And it's a beast, and I feel for you. I've been there, done that plenty of times in my life. But if you're stuck in it, settle back here. Now, we're gonna run a risk here. There was an interesting documentary that aired on Oxygen over the weekend. Maybe you heard me talking about it, promoting it, called Aaron Hernandez Uncovered. We're going to have to run the risk of some spoilers here, and just that's just the way that it is if we're going to discuss this a little bit. It's not going to ruin the documentary for you. First off, the documentary is on demand. It is very well produced. It is worth your time to watch.
If you woke up this morning and you went through your phone or got like alerts or whatever, you saw some of the stuff that was said on the documentary. So get out your feelings, man. Really?
There's just no way for us to avoid it.
You know, I'm about to go all in with this one.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it yet, I'm about to go ahead and spoil this one.
What if people
were
waiting on both of them to drop so they could watch them?
Well, I'm sorry, D. You should have watched this weekend.
Well, we're just telling you. Well, you know, of course.
Because I'm about to spoil it for you.
I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna take this segment off.
Leave, D.
I don't want to get spoiled. So.
So anyway, they made the people at Oxygen, the people who did the documentary, and it's very well done. I don't think they intended to go in trying to prove his innocence or his guilt. What I think they went in with, Hugh, was to get the story, whether he, you know, what was really going on here. And what they ran across was a bunch of stuff that, you know, I covered this, you know, from a news angle at CNN, and I covered it certainly on Sports Talk Radio. A lot of stuff that I didn't know about him kind of came out in this documentary. Now, the least of which is the fact that how much his sexuality and the fact that he apparently was gay played into all this.
See, and that's where I kind of, I don't know, because there wasn't enough. Like, the whole thing for me, John, was all speculation. It was all speculation. So I don't know how much I believe that. I mean, when you look at the story as a whole and what the pieces that we got and everything else that was going on, it left me with a lot more questions. It left me with a ton of questions on how it was handled. The whole case was handled, to be totally honest.
Right. I mean, do we know if he shot, you know,
we don't know, like,
the guys in Boston or Orton Love? We have no idea.
From what I gather from it, there was not enough there to, I don't think it was enough convict. Now, there was enough for speculation. No, there was no doubt about that. There was enough for speculation. But when you look at the court of public opinion and the way that it was presented to us and everything, there was some questions there about him, no doubt.
Well, so much came out in this that I thought was interesting. The bit about CTE and his brain, and we're still learning about CTE and about brain trauma. And his brain was mapped, and it was, man, you know, compared to a normal human brain, it did not look anything like it.
Yeah, they were saying something about he was 27 years old, and the amount of trauma that he had withstood over his lifetime was equivalent to somebody much older's brain. So that was kind of telling. And then he went through the story of him and his high school days and how much bigger he was than everybody else in high school, to the reason why he went to Florida and some of the things that he was dealing with and how all this happened. Like, everything kind of overwhelmed him after his father passed, and how much of an influence his father was in his life.
And again, Aaron Hernandez Uncovered this is not a trial, so there's no rebutting what was said there, and there's no, you know, presenting other sides of the evidence. This is just a documentary that just wanted to ask questions, and boy, did it ask a lot of interesting questions. And some of the interviews, whether it was Jose Baez, who of course is either a famous or infamous attorney, who was Hernandez's attorney, was also the attorney for Casey Anthony. Jose Baez is, of the opinion that there's no proof and that Aaron Hernandez did not, in fact, pull the trigger. Now, again, whether he did or didn't is up for you to decide. But I thought there was a lot more beyond that I thought was fascinating. From Brandon Spikes, his former teammate at Florida, who talked a lot about, what Aaron was like and whether or not there's speculation that he was that Odin Lloyd was killed to try to keep Odin Lloyd from going public as to, you know, the fact that Hernandez was gay and that he couldn't deal with this. And I don't know. I mean, even to the Boston radio show hosts, whew.
That, like, if you watch it, and the lady with a friend of mine likes to say she has a strong mandible. She has like a big jaw. She was kind of cruel. She like the way that they handled the information, you know. And listen, I understand that we, to a certain extent, we have to play radio and we have to do certain things for shock and awe. But that right there, the reports that they made and the stories that they leaked, I think they could have handled that a lot better than they did.
Well, I tell you, Boston Radio, stop for a second. I want to go over here for a second. Boston Sports Radio, they had the dude, remember, who called out Brady's kid, right? And called him a little pissant, right? That dude. And then you had Christian Fauria mock the Asian accent on the air, right? This is all in the last. Now they're replaying this stuff and putting it in context of what this Callahan show, Jerry Callahan show, did with Michelle McPhee, that was her name, you know, what they did on the radio prior to the death of Aaron Hernandez in the cell, and it didn't look good. And I checked it out and went to – those guys are getting blasted on Twitter this morning, the radio show hosts. I mean, they are getting torched after what they heard last night.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but, yeah, they had some strong words. They definitely had some strong words. They definitely had some strong words, and it was just like it just lets you – it just reaffirms and reinforces the fact that some people are real insensitive when it comes to certain things. But I don't think that should surprise anybody. I mean, especially, you know, being some of the radio hosts that are out there, I don't think it should come as a surprise that they would say something like that. I mean, the way that they even were presented when you watch the documentary does not surprise me.
But, they were going after Aaron Hernandez with both they were going after Aaron Hernandez hard, all right? Let's just put it that way. And then, of course, he ends up committing suicide in his cell. And, of course, this goes to, and I mentioned this to you, if you haven't as well seen the Lawrence Phillips documentary that's on Showtime, it's worthy as well. It's a really interesting kind of the story about what happened with him. But I just find these two things, that Lawrence Phillips and Aaron Hernandez both died in a suicide in a prison cell in almost the exact same manner, and that both of them had question marks attached to their suicide, just made me go, okay. That's another thing there that with Aaron Hernandez, you wonder, you know, did he really? I mean, I don't. Who's to know? I mean, and it's part of the problem with any documentary is if you don't have all the evidence, you know, you have to take things at face value. You have to assume that they both committed suicide. But I still wonder.
You know, another thing with documentaries. There's an angle to all. There's an angle to every documentary that we watch because it's to get us to think one way or another. And I have to honestly say, watching this documentary, I didn't know how I felt after I watched it because it left me asking more questions, you know, because we all know how we all think we know how the due process works. But it just felt like in this case that wasn't the case. It really, really did. It really, really did.
Well, and, you know, notwithstanding their agenda, I think that what they presented, let's just step back because you're right. Let's say that the producers went in and said, look, we're going to prove that there was – not that he was innocent because I don't think that was the case, but that we're going to prove that maybe it would have been far more difficult to find him guilty based on what we can discover because the way they present it, you go, how can you prove that he was guilty of this? I mean, was he there? Yes. Was he at fault and part in all these attacks? I mean, he obviously shot the one guy in Florida. We all know that in the eye. But, you know, these witnesses that were against him were sketchy. All the information, it just seemed like it was not exactly put together well, the case.
It was a shoddy case. That's what it screamed to me as well. It also screamed to me how it just left me thinking, like, wow. There are, like, you know, there are some inmates that say that they're innocent, and it just kind of makes you wonder, like, like it really made me look at both sides, the lawyers and law enforcement, and how all of this stuff came about. It really did. It made me look at it totally different.
Yeah, it made me look at it different too, because again, I covered this, you know, from the news angle side, you know, with the Boston affiliates during the trial, and the way that it was being presented on the news, there was no doubt that he was the gunman. No doubt. Zero doubt that he killed Odin Lloyd. And maybe he, in fact, did. You know, that's entirely plausible, too. But, boy, this raised a lot of questions, and it is fascinating, too. And it did raise the question about – that's the other thing. You know, let's say that – you know, I mean, let's assume – because people had the conflicting ideas. Let's assume he was gay, because I think now that – wouldn't you say that he was – you would take away that he was gay? Would you take that?
See, no. I didn't take that away. What? Because a few people, an ex-girlfriend speculate on it? And we saw a
letter
that was not in its entirety?
Like, right, one out of word. Context,
I mean,
right.
I don't.
That's fine.
Like, no. I don't think so. I don't think that was enough to label that man that way. Because, you know, there were some reports about a supposed witness that never came to light. So, I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Again, it's fascinating, worth your time, and it's on demand. It's on Oxygen on demand. If you want to watch Aaron Hernandez Uncovered, it's going to make you think, going to make you ask a lot of questions. It'll make you go to Twitter to talk to other people that are talking about it this morning. And it'll make you look at those Boston radio show hosts and think, what the hell, dude? What the hell? When we get back, we'll venture into that area of the show known as Hughes World.
Well, yes. Well, you know, we're definitely going to finish talking about this because there was a whole lot of stuff that went on during this documentary that I had questions about. And it made me even question the way that, you know, this whole prosecution went. I'll tell you more about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell, and this show is all-encompassing, Mike.
Yeah, man, we talk about everything. Chicks, guns, fire trucks, quality lawn care, plenty of Falcons.
Huh? It is Dukes and Bell, 2 to 7 every day, Monday through Friday, right here on Sports Radio 92.9
yeah.
The Game. And we kick ass.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
So if you haven't checked out this Aaron Hernandez documentary right at this point, I think you should go home and check it out because it's very, very interesting. And the thing that really got me, John, when I watched this documentary was how, on the outside looking in, because I think we all kind of felt this way, when we got all the information about how it happened and you know, they pointed the finger at him and the way that it was presented to us, we all felt pretty comfortable thinking that Aaron Hernandez was the shooter in the Odin Lloyd case. It really felt like that because of the way that we were being told things happened. The fact that the rental car was in his name and it wasn't that far from his home and everything like that.
A mile away.
Yeah, but when you watch this documentary, because it's very, very interesting, the thing that jumped out to me the most was that it relied heavily on video surveillance. And some of the video surveillance they got where they weren't supposed to get it, but they just so happened to catch the cameras that they found it. And one, I hope I'm not giving up too much, but I think what really got Aaron Hernandez in trouble was the video that they found outside of the police station. That was the one that really put them on the trail.
I agree.
But if you watch this documentary and the way that they tried to put this case together, it was all speculative. No question. It was all speculation because they never were able to put the gun squarely into his hand. And even the two individuals that were with him, they didn't say a word. So they had two guys that had criminal backgrounds and one guy that didn't, and they pinned the story on him because he was that's what they say, he was a football player. Now, you know, once you watch it, you're going to probably be able to gather your own, you know, information or, you know, your own opinion about it after the fact. But it's really well done. But I also had a problem with number one, the Florida girlfriend and the way that she was portrayed in it, because she said all of a sudden, now the story goes that when he went to college, that, you know, his father was a big part of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big influencer in his life. And when his father passed, he was kind of in this lost limbo thing. So they talk about how he comes home one summer. And he comes back to Florida and he's all tatted up and everything. And this was when he becomes a bad boy or whatnot. But it just felt like, you know, he was just dealing with a whole lot with the passing of his father.
You know, one of the things that I guess, because you worked at ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut, and that's where Aaron Hernandez was from Bristol. I mean, he's from Bristol, Connecticut, of all places. And he ends up he was recruited by lots of people because he was a star tight end in high school, dominating tight end, ends up going to play at Florida and then coming back to New England. Bristol, Connecticut, the gangs of Bristol, Connecticut, because that's where Odin Lloyd was shot, that's where he lived. But the gangs of Bristol, Connecticut, I mean...
Oh, no, don't sleep now.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
it's called Pistol Wave in New Haven for a reason. I mean, it's some cats up there in Connecticut that you don't think. They live in thug life now. I'm not shorting them like that. But I think that he lost his way a little bit. Not saying that he didn't do it, but any reasonable person, when you look at all the evidence and the way that it shook out for him, you would think that, wow, there's not a whole lot there. Now, there are things in this video which you see, when you see it, you're going to be like, wow, that will make you think, no question, without a doubt, that Aaron Hernandez, if he didn't pull the trigger, he know who did. At least he was there, something. I mean, it's just one of those things. And then the testimony that Robert Kraft gave for the defense is it was wild. It was wild. So it's one of those documentaries that you have to check out because it's very, very compelling TV. And I guarantee you, when you watch it and you get done watching it, you're not gonna know how to feel about it. Because to be honest, like I told you, I don't know. Like I know they tried to introduce that part that he was gay. I don't know if that's, there probably was something there, but I don't know to the extent where they're trying to make it seem like, you know, he was fighting with these two secret lives or whatever. And even to the point where the ex-girlfriend said, you know, in a letter that it looked like she saw something. I don't know. I don't know if I would go that far to say the man was gay.
Well, I will say this, you know, of course, you know, with Aaron Hernandez is gone. So, I mean, you're not going to be able to, even if he were to be cleared or something, it's kind of a moot point at this point. Man's dead. And I don't know that he will. It just raises questions, and there's no reason to re-adjudicate this unless there is a killer on the loose that you have to go get. That would be the thing. I will say that the fallout from this is going to fall squarely because the radio show at WEEI, Callahan and especially Michelle McPhee, the investigative reporter, that was a local, you know, show in Boston, and maybe they got away with what they said about this case on radio in Boston, but when they put it on national TV this morning on Twitter, they are getting torched across the nation.
It was real insensitive. It really was. And it was one of those things that as a radio host, if you have this information, you really struggle with whether or not, number one, you're going to report it. And once you report it, how you're going to, in what manner are you going to give the news to the masses? And I think that's where they fell short at. They fell short with the fact that their delivery was off. I think it was a little off. But, you know, you have to live in that region to understand why they did what they did. But I feel like it was a little off for what had just happened, what had just transpired.
Yeah, and this is only us reacting to, you know, we were doing the promotion for Aaron Hernandez I covered, and I had seen part one and knew it was fascinating. And then part two aired last night, and boy, it's worth your time if you're interested because it's just great TV, and you'll find it fascinating. What very well produced, very well done, and it'd be on demand on Oxygen on demand. All right, we got a lot of sports to cover in the next hour here. Deshaun Tate, our NCAA tournament expert, on standby for 9:20. First up, Mike Conley to talk about Atlanta United and Joseph Martinez and the explosion of the Five Stripes offense. We'll have that as we continue at the top of the hour with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.